necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of AM 690 KHNR.
It's time once again for Hawaii's premier automotive repair and maintenance call-in radio show, Automotive 101 with George Nita. If you have a question for George, call the Hawaiian Automotive 101 hotline at 296-5467. If you'd like to email your question to George or just listen to the show live on your computer, log on to our website at www.georgenitta.com. And now, here he is, the host of Hawaiian Automotive 101, former race car driver, master automotive technician, and famous for being the mothball mechanic, Mr. George Nita.
Aloha, and thanks for tuning in to Automotive 101, coming to you live from Honolulu, Hawaii. And we're also live on the web worldwide. And today we have celebrity here, Ed Case and Tracy Arakaki. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Mahalo for having us on, George.
Well, it's a pleasure to have VIP every now and then. And maybe people wake up and call in more. Not that we have enough phone lines, but 296-5467. Okay? And before we get to them, the thing I want to put out to you, and you people of Hawaii, you need to patronize your sponsors and the people that help you. I can see it if you get free work, then yeah, we can't say anything. But if you're paying anyway, you pay to the people that help you. That's what this is all about. Okay? And when times are hard like now, you take care of those that take care of you. Does that make sense to you?
Definitely.
Yeah, but they don't. Not here in Hawaii.
Well, that's what keeps motorsports up there in the forefront all the time, is that the support for the sponsors, you know?
Yeah, but you notice in Hawaii, they don't support the sponsors. Cuckoo.
Always backwards.
You telling me. Anyway, there was one thing that I wanted to bring out, and lawmakers that's out there and listening, when they make laws, they have to look at two sides, not just one. For instance, the big thing. Now, you folks that are old enough to understand this, think, when you were little, didn't your parents say, look both ways before you cross the street? Huh?
Yeah.
The new law out for pedestrians, you have the right of way, the car is wrong, go for it. So what do you see? You see people on cell phones just walk right onto the road in the crosswalk because they are right. And this is how that lady on Pali Highway died. There was a witness. He came in and he told me he saw the whole thing. In fact, there were two people that came in. She came walking right onto the crosswalk, right in front of the car. The car had no way of stopping for her. So she's dead right, in other words, right?
Yep.
Why? Because the politicians gave the people the impression that they are protected by the law. There's a big bubble that protects you. So go for it. You don't have to look left to right. Just go.
Look, they say that, I guess your car is like a weapon. So do you have any suggestions what could be done instead?
Go back to the old days. Look left to right and see if it's clear. Then go. Okay, the other thing. On Pali Highway yesterday, there was a truck with no brakes.
Right.
Okay, fine, I'm in the right of way. Here I go. Yeah, what makes you think the guy got brakes? You know, just to let you know, because the economy is bad, I had two guys come in already with bad brakes. The pedal goes to the metal. It doesn't stop. You pump it, it'll slow down. Mm. But it doesn't stop. You want to walk in front of that car?
Right.
No. How do you know? Economy bad, everybody's cutting back. Be careful. You don't want to be dead right.
Take longer to go and maintain your vehicles because you can't afford it.
That's right. So when I told the guy, you need to fix the brake, it's dangerous. Oh, no, it's okay. I can pump it and stop. Oh, God. Anyway, give us a call at 296-5467. If you have any questions for Ed Case, he's running for
Congress. First Congressional, Honolulu proper.
You're taking Abercrombie's place.
Well, we've got two elections coming up, George. One, and they're both very, very critical, crucial elections for Hawaii. The first one is Representative Abercrombie is not going to be running for re-election for his next full two-year term, which starts in next year, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for the two-year term to take over for him in the U.S. House of Representatives. More important immediately is that he's going to come home, run for governor, so he's resigning effective February 28th. And that's right in the middle of the current congressional term.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's really, really critical for Hawaii is we never, ever, ever want to be unrepresented in the U.S. House of Representatives or in Congress.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, you know, you would think that too, but sometimes I'm listening to some of the things that are being said out there by some other people in Hawaii, and they don't seem to think it's important to fill Abercrombie's position right away. And I'm telling them, hey, you got no idea what Congress is all about if that's what you're going to say. I mean, you're talking not only about having everybody in Honolulu, 600,000 citizens, have their voice in Congress, which every citizen of our country should have, but you're talking about a small state, only four of us up there, two House, two Senate. You got to have everybody on deck all the time pulling their weight. And then plus that, you've got all of the congressional programs that are going on,
mm-hmm.
appropriations, you know, mm-hmm. the federal funding. That's all happening right now. So for us to
we need that money.
We need that money. We're getting it. We got to keep it coming. So people deserve to have their representation. So that special election probably is going to happen beginning of May. I hope it does. We should have it. We can have it then. We got everything lined up. We've got the money is available, contrary to what some people are saying. It's ready to go. We should power that election, get somebody on the job the next day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have a few questions. So we have somebody that has a question?
Well, we have Glenn from Waianae on the line.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, George. I was going to say, just on law, talking on the cell phone while you're walking too, but I got a question for Mr. Case.
Hi, Glenn. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Case, I voted for you last time, you know, and I would vote for you again, but you're running from the Honolulu district. I live in Waianae, so that leaves me out.
Yeah, the Waianae is a second congressional district, and I represented you for over 4 years in Congress, Glenn. I hope you appreciated that representation. I enjoyed representing you in the Waianae Coast then, as well as the rest of Hawaii. This particular district runs from Makapu'u Point out to Mililani Waipahu Ewa Beach is the western boundary. But that doesn't mean this isn't important for all of Hawaii. And I know you have listeners throughout all of Hawaii listening to you right now. You know, the thing about being a member of Congress from Hawaii, it's a little different perhaps than like California got plenty of representatives. So, you know, if you come from like San Francisco, let's say you're representing San Francisco, you don't have too much to do with Los Angeles. Here it's different. And really the way it works out is that each of the members of Congress on the House side, they really kind of function at large. We never turned anybody down when I was representing you in the second congressional. We always tried to help out with the first congressional. And equally so, if I were to be privileged to be reelected to represent the first congressional, I would definitely view it as my kuleana to continue to help you out in Waianae.
Okay, I got a question then. You know, are you going to vote straight party line?
I've never been a straight party line voter, Glenn. I don't believe in that. I don't think that either party has a lock on good ideas. You know, you may be a little bit like me. I've been a Democrat all my life, but there have been times when I thought my party was wrong, and I've voted the other way. I think also you take a look at politics nowadays. You know, maybe in the old days everybody thought, oh, only Dem or only Republican. You know, I think probably the majority party in our country now and in Hawaii today is far more independent. I mean, most of us, I think nowadays we look to the person, we look to who has the best ideas, who has the best experience, who can, you know, has the seniority to go up and get the job done. So I've always carried that with me in politics, and I'll tell you the truth, it's gotten me a little bit of trouble because sometimes people want you to just toe the line. You know, they tell you what to do and yank your chain, and you're supposed to do it. But I've never bought that.
That's why I voted for you before, because I know you didn't go straight party line. And
well, please, we need your help. Tell all your friends and colleagues in the 1st Congressional.
Hey, you give me a T-shirt, right? I campaigned for you.
All right. Well, we'll give you another T-shirt. get in touch with us.
Okay, shoot.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, anybody else out there got questions or anything? Give us a call at 296-5467. A question I got for you is, what do you think about a Waikiki Grand Prix race?
I think that's a great idea. You know the thing about Hawaii, we've got so much goodwill. I guess I would put it that way. You know, sometimes we live here in Hawaii, and I was born and raised here like most other people. And you know, I love Hawaii, and I appreciate Hawaii. But, you know, sometimes what we don't realize when we're sitting in Hawaii is how the rest of the world is looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the rest of the world, they are enchanted. You know, a marketer once told me that one of the most powerful brand names in the entire world was Hawaii. You know, a brand name conjures up an image, and it makes mm-hmm. people want and all that kind, yeah? So I don't think that we appreciate that here sometimes. We don't know how powerful that can be.
That's right.
And so when we can take the Hawaii brand, if I can put it that way, and find different ways of attracting people to come visit us, that's fantastic. And I think Waikiki I would defer to the motorsports community on how to best go about it. But the idea is tremendous. You look at Monaco, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Long Beach.
Now, you know, these
Hong
places,
Kong,
they had an idea.
Yep.
And they went out and they pursued it. And maybe at the time people there were going, hey, what are you guys talking about? I don't know how that can work in Long Beach. Well, hey, it does work in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. Why can't it work here? You know, I mean, we gotta freshen up our tourism a little bit.
If you step back and you look at the whole picture of all the locations in the world for Grand Prix racing, and I'm talking Grand Prix racing on the streets, the city streets, okay? They have it in Hong Kong, Long Beach, all over the place.
Even Vegas, they shut down the streets in Vegas a couple of years back.
Okay. If you put all of them in a basket, Hawaii stands out the number one place. Why are we just dumping it? Why aren't we doing something with it? It's been over 20 years, and we just look at it and say, nah, no can.
Sometimes we sell ourselves short. Sometimes we don't. We're not visionary. Sometimes we're not brave enough to go out there. And, you know, let's face it, sometimes our culture is, well, we can't do this and we can't do that. No chance. You know, well, I say chance them sometimes, you know.
Yeah, because there's money. I mean, if you're crying about money, you know where the money comes from? Those signs that they put up on the walls, on the side, the bridge, everything, $10 million a piece.
Well, you look at the economic and global impact from motorsports versus, let's say, the biggest event that we probably got coming out of Hawaii is a Pro Bowl. And it's basically seen in the United States only. One IndyCar race is seen in 140-plus different countries.
Yeah, nowadays this stuff goes right around the world.
Yeah.
And the future of our tourism in Hawaii is not mainland tourism, although that's really important to us. But the future of our tourism is primarily Asia. You know, China, Korea, right. Japan, Thailand, India even, these growing giants. Yep. And, you know, nowadays you just put it out there on the web, on cable or whatever, and it's shown over there. And I remember watching, I guess it was the Monaco Grand Prix a couple of years ago. I was kind of just watching TV, and what I noticed about that was it wasn't just about the race, because that was exciting enough. But you had these pans around Monaco when they were doing it, and out to the ocean. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I thought, wow, I want to go visit Monaco.
Yeah.
Yeah, the scenics.
Yeah, you know, so you imagine you have a TV camera on the top of, the Sheraton or whatever, and they're following the race through Kalakaua, but they also pan out to the ocean, Diamond Head.
Perfect.
That's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, it's free advertising. Yeah. You're getting paid for it.
Exactly.
And the winner's circle, we would put on a platform on the beach of Waikiki. So when you televise the winner, you got Diamond Head in the background with Waikiki Beach. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How can you lose?
That brand is something very powerful, and we don't use enough of it. And, So I support it. I think it's something that you could pull a good community effort out of, whether it be partly federal. The government could get involved in terms of helping out, marketing, making things easier for people to visit, and certainly, of course, the local.
More jobs?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, now if it was only us, we'd be convinced and on our way already. Huh?
Yeah. Okay, who do you have on the line?
I have Terry from Manoa.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, this question goes to Ed Case.
Hey, Terry.
I was wondering, what is your view on the health care and the cap and trade issue?
Okay, well, those are two powerful issues and very important issues in Congress right now, and I appreciate you being from Manoa, which I was very privileged to represent for 8 years in the state legislature. So I thank you for giving me my start in politics, and all of the lessons that I learned are lessons that I learned on the roads of Manoa campaigning. Healthcare. I do think we need healthcare reform in this country. I don't think that the way things are working is going to work over the long term. And I say that to you not because I don't think that there's a lot of good quality healthcare throughout our country, but we've got a couple of problems, some really, really difficult problems with healthcare. The first is that the cost of healthcare is escalating yearly by one of the highest rates of anything in our whole country. So like 8-10% every single year, and you know this because of your premiums. You watch your premiums; they just go up and up and up. So that's one problem. The second problem is that we have too many Americans that cannot get insurance. Now we have got good programs for some Americans, but there's 30-40 million Americans out there that really, really have a very difficult time being covered. And I just don't think a country like the United States should accept that. Third problem we have is that we have a centralization in the healthcare industry, the private healthcare industry. So there's fewer and fewer companies that are basically running the show, and that's always dangerous when you have that. So I believe that what we need to be doing with healthcare is a couple of things. The first is we do have to control those costs, and I think that the best way to do that is by bringing more competition into the marketplace. I don't believe in the government taking over the healthcare industry. I don't think that's the right way to go. So I don't agree with those that say we should just have a government-run healthcare program. But I do think that our government has a place to come in and say, hey, we're gonna set up some more competition, and to regulate the costs in some of the healthcare areas that are really a problem. Cap and trade, another difficult issue. What we're really trying to do there is to look at trying to finally control the carbon emissions into our atmosphere, which I do believe are harmful. I know scientists kind of disagree on this, but I just don't think that we can keep on putting all this stuff out into the air. We have to work with the rest of the world on this because we don't want to be the only one. We don't want to disadvantage ourselves by putting in limits on our country, and then, you know, China goes off and, you know, does whatever the heck it wants. That's not the right way to do it. But to try to provide a system under which we provide an overall limit on emissions and then let the free market work out kind of where those rights to emit are allocated, I think is probably the right way to go. Now, I don't know about the specific bill in Congress because I'm not there. I haven't studied it. But somehow we got to get a hold of this problem.
So do you think that...
Can you hang on for a minute?
Sure.
Yeah, we got to go to station break.
We'll be right back on Automotive 101 with your host, George Nita, and his guest today, Tracy Arakaki from Punisham and Congressman Ed Case.
Whether it's your fuel system, your steering, carburetor, or injector systems, using Royal Purple products with its extended oil life saves time, money, and the environment. Royal Purple's superior oxidation stability means oil changes can be extended up to 12,000 miles or more, depending on the equipment.
For the health of your car and the longevity of your engine, use only Royal Purple.
On Oahu, Royal Purple products are available at Pflugger Honda Yamaha, New City Nissan, Quick Fix Cycles, Harvey Maeda on Kauai, and Maui Toyota on Maui.
Since 1978, Pearl City Transmission has proved quality, dedication, and exceptional service to their customers. Pearl City Transmission has grown to meet the needs of their customers with a 12,000 square foot location in the YPO Gentry Business Park. Ian Nakashima, with the help of his family and a crew of expert technicians, gives you top-notch diagnostic services and repairs. Be aware of imitators and remember there's only one Pearl City Transmission. Pearl City Transmission in the YPO Gentry Business Park. Call them at 671-8767.
She's real fine, my 409.
Okay, we're back rolling again, and how's Rolling Bob?
Good question. I don't know what happened to him.
He fell off his chair. He heard Ed Case is here, so he fell off his chair.
Maybe, but we still have
Terry. Have that effect on some people.
Okay.
We still have Terry on.
Okay, Terry. You're
okay.
Back.
Next question in regards to the equipment trade, and this is, since this is an automotive show, do you feel that the recreational automotive industry can be affected by the equipment trade? As far as taxing the automotive recreation business,
you know, my understanding of what the proposals are in Washington are that they don't directly affect the vehicles, that it's directed more at the factories and you know that kind of carbon emission. And I think that's probably fair. We do have separate standards that do apply to vehicle manufacture that I think are. Could be reasonable. They can get overboard sometimes, but as long as there's a reasonable balance and the rules are the same for everybody, I think that's the main thing. You don't want to, you know, if you're going to do something like that, you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page on it. But in terms of cap and trade, I don't think that that's directed at the automotive industry.
Mm. Okay. Thanks for calling. Is Bob back on?
No, he's not.
Hmm. Okay.
But we have Mavis from Mililani.
Hi, Mavis.
Hi, George. I'd like to thank you for letting me take this time to thank you as well as Damien from Maui Toyota. I was able to purchase a car from him with the help of my brother, Celine Steve.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I just picked up my car this morning from Young Brothers, and I am so thrilled with it. I got a RAV4,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just wanted to tell you thank you so very much for, you know, giving us that tip about going to Maui Toyota, because I did save, you know, a substantial amount of money.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Hi.
Oh, I got to ask you, too, then. Just kidding.
No, I really recommend Maui Toyota because the prices is really good.
No, Damien, I knew Damien from when I was representing Maui in Congress the last time around. Good people over there.
Yep, very good. So the question I have for you is, again, ethanol. I know lots and lots of politicians and people around America and Hawaii don't understand ethanol. There's a lot of bad propaganda going out about ethanol, which is all not true. The thing that is wrong with ethanol is not wrong, but they're making out of corn, and corn is not the best thing to use. Sugarcane is number one. Sugarcane makes more ethanol per stalk than corn, and it's a weird fuel. If you put it into lab, it all comes out the same. Okay? If you mix the bottles all up, you would never know which one was sugarcane. But if you put it in an engine, you would know. Because the sugarcane makes more power, better fuel economy, so you get more bang for your buck. And that's the reason why NHRA racing will never allow ethanol. Because they told me that there is no way to test it. If you want a race, they wouldn't know if your ethanol is legal. Because as they test it, it's all the same, yeah? So, but then if you are using Hawaiian sugarcane, which, by the way, makes the most power in the world, and why we're not doing it, I don't know. It's just like the Grand Prix race. But if you use Hawaiian sugarcane, there's nobody in the world that's going to touch you. Okay? So, but the Grand Prix racers have been using it. They were forced to use, they have to use it since 2008 and 2009. So I asked officials there, hey, how are you guys testing if this guy is not using Hawaiian sugarcane? So he laughed and he said, oh, simple. we put a special dye in the fuel, and they have to buy it from us.
Oh.
And when we put the special light on it, if it doesn't come out the color that we put in, you're out of there, brother.
Mm.
So
wow. Simple,
I
huh?
said,
simple
yeah,
solution.
That's smart. But when they went to ethanol, they had to cut the fuel tanks down. Two-thirds, because of the gas mileage. See, they have to come in for pit stops, and the only way to come in for pit stop is cut down on the fuel. So if it works on the full throttle car, imagine what it will do for Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've been on this for a long time now. I have believed, you know, I went to work for Spark Matsunaga when I was 22 years old. Some people don't remember Spark anymore because it's getting up there. And but he was, of course, a U.S. congressman, U.S. senator from Hawaii. And I went to work with him in D.C. when I was 22. This is 1975. Worked for him for 3 years in Washington. Now, people remember that that was the time of the Arab oil embargo. And our country was completely taken by surprise, I suppose you should say, by the gas prices going up. And all of a sudden, we went on this flurry of activity on renewable energy. And Spark Matsunaga was in the lead on that. And I was his staffer on renewable energy. And I realized then how much Hawaii had to offer the world in terms of renewable, sustainable energy as opposed to just, you know, taking it out of the ground and burning it. So we had solar, we had geothermal. And Spark, and we had ocean thermal. We had all this kind of energy. But Spark was, one of the ideas he had, and he was really kind of revolutionary on this, was, okay, at the time, of course, we had a lot more ag in Hawaii. We had the sugar plantations for all. And I was born and raised in Hilo, so I remember the Hamakua coast. And, you know, we all remember the sugar days. And he understood that probably sugar's day was coming to an end as in Hawaii, at least. But you could convert sugar to energy.
Mm-hmm.
The countries that were doing that at the time, Brazil.
Right.
Brazil was in the forefront. Brazil made the decision 30 years ago they were going to move over to ethanol-based energy, and now they're awesome.
They're the leaders.
Yeah. And you know, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, we lost focus on that. And then when the, you know, gas prices went up again, then we all turned around and said, what do we ever do about renewables?
Right.
Well, when I was in Congress, I was on the House Agriculture Committee, and we were focusing on energy on the House Ag Committee, not on ag for food, but ag for energy. And that really works for Hawaii here. You know, it's tough for us to mass produce food, although we should do a lot more of it because it takes us so long to get it up to the mainland
right.
or to Asia. But, you know, in terms of, you know, a state that brings in 90%+ of our fuel, we don't have any coal. We don't have any nuclear.
No.
It's all petroleum for the most part. Maybe on the Big Island we have more geothermal. But, you know, I always believed that we could take the ag land that we have on this island and the other islands and replant in energy-based ag, so sugar, you know, some variations of palms, and you know all of this, and develop an actual renewable energy industry here that could sustain us when gas prices do in fact go again four times what they are or higher than that.
Because oil is on its way up again.
Yeah, I mean, oil is up to $70-$80 a barrel now, you know. $150 a couple of years ago, we all flipped out, right?
So, you know, on that oil thing, I'm glad you said it's going up. But who's telling us it's going up?
Who's telling us?
Yeah, the oil company, right?
The two people are telling us it's going up. The first person that's telling us it's going up are the people that have the petroleum in the ground.
Yeah,
which
oil
is
companies.
Mostly, not the oil companies, the countries that have it, the oil cartel countries.
Okay.
So there are several of them. There are several of them, but they hang together, right?
They control
the supply. So, you know, I mean, if one wants to, pump out more, the others say, no, that's not our deal.
We're
going to control the supply to control the price.
If we had ethanol in Hawaii,
we would do away with that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to
keep
tell us.
Keep your oil.
Yeah. Well, this is a family show, you know, we might be able to say that to them. And we could say that to them. See, that's the thing, you know, that's another one of those things where sometimes we sell ourselves short here in Hawaii. If we'd really gotten into this 25 years ago, we'd be in much better shape.
We'd be cruising.
But, you know, sometimes people go, well, we didn't do it, so we shouldn't do it. And my view of it is, well, if we start today, then 20 years ago, and, you know, we're turning it over to our kids, we can say we've got something done for them.
You know, the good thing with ethanol that a lot of people don't realize is the exhaust that comes out from the cars makes oxygen. It makes oxygen. Carbon monoxide that comes out from gasoline, oil cars, eats oxygen. That's how people commit suicide. Okay? Now, if you got a car running on ethanol, 100%, and put that pipe into your garage or your car or whatever, try to commit suicide. Brother, dream on. Because it'll give you more oxygen.
No, I never knew that.
Yep. Check Brazil's oxygen level. It's the highest in the world.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, we could use more oxygen here.
Oh, yeah, we can.
Especially in our politics, but that's another story.
But anyway, we got to go to a break.
We'll be right back on Automotive 101 with George Nita. And his guest today is Congressman Ed Case and Tracy Arakaki from Punisham.
Well, I saved my pennies and I saved my dimes.
I went to a party, and I remembered what you said. You told me not to drink, Mom, so I had a Sprite instead. I felt proud of myself, the way you said I should. I didn't drink and drive, though some friends said I should. I made a healthy choice, and your advice to me was right. As the party finally ended, and the kids drove out of sight, I got into my car, sure to get home in one piece. I never knew what was coming, Mom. Something I expected least. Now I'm lying on the pavement and I hear the policeman say, that kid that caused this wreck was drunk. Mom, his voice seems so far away. My own blood's all around me as I try hard not to cry. I can hear the paramedics say, this girl's gonna die. I'm sure that guy had no idea while he was flying high, because he chose to drink and drive. Now I would have to die. So why do people do it, Mom, knowing that it ruins lives, and the pain is cutting me like 100 stabbing knives? Tell my sister don't be afraid, Mom. Tell my daddy to be brave. And when I go to heaven, put daddy's girl on my grave. Someone should have taught him that it's wrong to drink and drive. Maybe if his parents did, I'll still be alive. My breath is getting shorter, Mom. I'm getting really scared. These are my final moments, and I'm so unprepared. I wish that you could hold me, Mom, as I lie here and die. I wish that I could say, I love you, Mom. So I love you, and goodbye.
George Nita wants you to remember, please, don't drink and drive. The life you save may be your own.
If you're having trouble with your car, truck, or SUV and don't know who to trust, call George Nita or his son Todd at Nita's Auto Repair. Whether you need a simple tune-up and oil change, new brakes, or a complete engine or transmission rebuild, Nita's Auto Repair offers fast, reliable, and honest service. And Nita's also specializes in automotive air conditioning service. Nita's Auto Repair is experienced in all makes and models, both foreign and domestic. In business since 1965, Nita's Auto Repair is conveniently located in town at 1316 Kaumuali'i Street. Get it fixed right the first time. Call Nita's Auto Repair at 847-5554. That's 847-5554.
According to the editors of Hot Rod Magazine,
we've torn down some of our dyno engines that have been seriously abused, but with Royal Purple in the pan, the bearings have looked new. Royal Purple actually improves the condition of metal surfaces by remaining long after pressure would have been squeezed out of ordinary lubricants. Royal Purple responds to increased pressure with increased viscosity.
To keep your car running its best, use only Royal Purple. On Oahu, Royal Purple products are available at Tiki Cycles Unlimited. On the Big Island, it's Magoo's Auto Parts. Maui Toyota on Maui and Harvey Maeda on Kauai.
Welcome back to Hawaiian Automotive 101 with George Nita. If you have a question for George, call the Hawaiian Automotive 101 hotline at 296-5467. If you'd like to email your question to George or just listen to the show live on your computer, log on to our website at www.georgenitta.com. And now, here's George.
Okay, we're back again, and like I said, you can give us a call at 296 5467. You got any questions about your car? Comments, questions about whatever. Anyway, give us a call at 296-5467. I'd like to hear something about what Tracy has to say today.
Well, you know, we've been following the racetrack situation for a long time already, and there's a lot of rumors going around out there. The biggest one, that Hawaii Racer Park, is on the auction block. It's been on the auction block since the track closed. Iron Gate got the property. They foreclosed on it, and these two mortgage companies now have it. Alexander and Baldwin bought the mortgage, and Webco is moving on to the property. So HRP is totally, completely off the auction block. DLNR had the famous feedlot up right now. The first round, trying to see who is going to be proper bidders for it, had already closed last week. You got these two, you know, several racing groups like Oahu Pro Gas Association, Hawaii International Raceway Park. I mean, those are the people who are trying to put in bids. They're not going to get it because DLNR has very few pieces of properties that they can actually use to generate money. This is one of their gems that they have, and they're expecting to get millions out of it because it's supposed to be a 65-year lease.
Hmm.
So both of those properties are going to be definitely out of the question. You know, and one of the reasons why I am totally in support of Congressman Case here is that the two other people who are running against him, House Bill 567 that came up before the legislature in 2007 and 2009, it had been moving through the legislature, it got out and got voted on, and it made it to conference committees, and Senator Hanabusa killed it.
Why?
Because there were some other projects that might have interfered with what they were involved with. One of them is that P-24 project.
Oh, I see.
And then again, Councilman DeJoux, when we were trying to condemn the Hawaii Raceway Park property, and we were also trying to keep the property from getting upzoned from ag to, industrial, so we could keep the property value down, and then that'll help us to go and get with the condemnation. Well, he didn't back the condemnation bill, and he supported the upzoning. So, you know, both of these people have done things that have detrimentally hurt our motorsports community, and that is why I'm not in total support of them, because if we get them all up there in Congress and, you know, hearing just Congressman Case talk about, you know, he's in support of a Grand Prix and ethanol and that type of things, you know, their track record right now tells me that they're not going to be in support of those things that can help our state and our motorsports community.
Okay, the other question I have. Well, we have a caller.
We do. We have Bob from Pro City.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, George. This is backing up Mr. Case. Last time he ran for U.S. Senate, he got brainwashed. People got brainwashed from the king. And I guess you know who's the king.
Who's that?
I don't want to mention names. It's a good article written by David Shapiro, Volcano Ash, on Advertiser 113 this year. That's a very good article. They tell you who the king is. So I would advise everybody to read that article and use your own thinking. Don't get brainwashed by the big politicians. That's all I have to say. And good luck to Mr. Case.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Bob.
Yeah, I know you'll do something for the people, not the people that's over there now.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that. You know, I think what you said is what a lot of people want and believe about politics nowadays. You know, I think one of the, and by the way, the article that you're referring to is a very good and fair article by David Shapiro, who is a columnist in the Advertiser. So I think if you want to find it online, you just go find David Shapiro, search for David Shapiro, and it was last week. I think it was last Wednesday or something like that. And he's been in the business for a long, long time. He is very objective. He certainly has taken off on me one or two times in the course of my political career. But I think this is this is about the big picture of politics in Hawaii and our country. You know, for too long here, I think we've been run by too small a group with too much control, and most of us feel left out of that. And when we feel left out, we start to despair of our government. And when we feel that way, we tend to stop voting. We have one of the lowest voting rates in our in our not just one of the lowest, we have the lowest.
Yep.
Now, you know, that's unbelievable, right? When you think, you know, when I was growing up here, we were all completely civic-minded, and we're a patriotic state. We love our country. We love our state. But we don't vote as much as the rest of the country. Why is that? And I think the reason is because people don't think it makes a difference. They don't think that when they go down to, you know, to the school on a Tuesday or a Saturday, it's going to make a difference. So why not just do something else, you know? And that's deadly to a culture and a society over time, because then the control group gets smaller and smaller, and then when people like me come along and run and just say, well, I'm not asking your permission to run. I don't think I should have to, you know, be approved by some central committee of this or that, or by any one person or group. All I'm asking for is to ask the people that vote, do they think that I can do a good job versus somebody else? That's the only thing I'm asking. And so I think, you know, the election that we're going into is first and foremost about who can best represent Hawaii now in the U.S. Congress when Abercrombie leaves midterm, who can step in, use a seniority experience that I've got, and do that job. But it's also about a bigger picture, Bob, and I think it's something like what you're talking about there. It's about whether we have the right to make our own decisions about who's going to run for office and who's going to represent us. And I think, you know, this election is about that, and I hope we're able to make that point, because I think we can start to open up politics again. I think we can bring in the communities like the motorsports community that somehow, sometimes, like Tracy was talking, feel that they weren't treated fairly. We can bring in new ideas, different ways of approaching things. That's really what this is about.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Bob. Okay, who's next?
We have Mr. Lawrence from Kaneohe.
Mr. Lawrence.
Hi, Mr. Nita. My question is to Mr. Case. Mr. Case, first of all, I hope you're very successful in your race, because we got to get some new blood in there with new ideas.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, say about people not voting. I used to vote. I'm very patriotic. I'm a veteran. And I got very disenchanted in the past. I live in Kaneohe. My district is Ben Parker School. The polls open, I believe, 6:30, but we're in line. A lot of senior citizens are in line. The poll people don't come on time. They come late. They're understaffed. By the time they set up, and then when I finally get up, they look at my, I give them my ID card. They tell, is this you, Mr. So-and-so? I say, yes. Well, it doesn't look like you. You know, I mean, what am I supposed to look like? I mean, my picture is only 2 years old on a driver's license, you know. And this is not the first time it's happened. And what really upsets me is, like I said, that, you know, I don't know if they have adequate training or what. I don't know. But these people that are running the polls, they got to be better, more efficient. And I'm looking for that word. You know, be on there on time. You know, a lot of people are staying in line, want to cast their votes, but they don't open the polls on time. You see, so I know you may disagree, but I don't vote anymore because I'm really tired of that. I'm being humiliated and telling me that doesn't look like me and stuff. I mean, what do you want from me?
Well, that's, you know, I feel somehow responsible for the experience you had, because I've been in government for so many years, and I'm really sorry about that experience.
Yeah, no, you don't have to. I don't know if it comes under the lieutenant governor, but I think...
it is the lieutenant governor.
Yeah. Pay these people more. Get people in that are more, you know, have enthusiasm and show initiative and, you know, want to get this program... Like I said, there's a lot of senior citizens get up and they have other things to do during the rest of the day.
You know, I'm glad you said something like that, because way back in the 70s, early 70s, I had formed the 50th State ProGas Association. And when I formed that association and the board of directors, one of the rules that I told them they have to do is to volunteer help for election polls with the ProGas of Hawaii shirt. The 50th State ProGas shirts, so that all of Hawaii could see them on TV helping with the elections. And then whenever there was a problem like we have now with no racetrack, it's hard to say no to a group that was helping you all these years.
Exactly.
But, you know, instead of these racers having brains, I don't know, they got trains in their heads, so they never came out.
Why don't you just, you can vote absentee vote or something like
that?
Yeah,
you can. I was about to suggest that.
That's better.
You know, you can definitely do the mail absentee. And actually, nowadays, You know, a lot of folks are starting to do that. In fact, like 33% plus now, maybe 40% or more are voting absentee because they don't want to go down at the, you know, like just like what you were talking about. They'd rather stay home. The ballot comes to you. You just vote it in the mail when you feel like it, and send it in. So that's definitely an option. And the election coming up, in fact, might be an all-mail election. So it's just everybody gets a mail ballot.
But, you know, it's a good feeling to exercise your constitutional rights and walk in there, go in a booth, punch your ticket, and, you know, America is one of our freedom.
You know, I'm glad you said that because as I was talking, I was thinking, you know, I like to go down to the polling places on election day. I feel good about that. I feel, you know, like I say hi to everybody and I think, well, I got my say. And, you know, I have the same say if I do a mail ballot, but it somehow doesn't feel the same.
It's just one vote, but, you know, you're part of the solution.
Right. Well, I hope you give it another shot because
to vote.
We need everybody's vote.
Yeah, Mr. Nina, last week I didn't get a chance to call you about Mr. Hanneman trying to push that rail thing. You know, he's gonna run for governor, and by signing up all these unions that he did in a few weeks back, they're gonna vote for him because, you know, he wants to push this rail through whether Hawaii needs it or can afford it or not. Because these people are going to pay him back. They're going to think, well, he's going to be governor. Guarantee we're going to get finished the rail.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if he was the mayor, why don't you finish the job that you started instead of leaving it for the next person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, break time again. We'll be right back on Automotive 101 with George Nita, and his guest today is Tracy Arakaki from Punisher Motorsports and Congressman Ed Case.
Looking for a unique gift? Q Cakes has a perfect solution. Our rich, decadent cupcake lollipops are sure to please. Or give that special someone a sweet treat with a uniquely decorated cupcake. Made from scratch using all natural ingredients, Q Cakes truly are too cute to eat and too delicious to just have one. Call us at 381-8881 or 282-4031 or visit our website at qcakeshawaii.com.
Is your furry four-legged friend getting a bit too furry? Then call Fur Styling by Tammy. With 22 years of experience, Fur Styling by Tammy specializes in all types of dogs. Located on 8th Avenue in Kaimuki, Fur Styling by Tammy also features the latest in organic food, treats, and shampoos for your dog. Keep your dog healthy and looking good. Call Tammy at 732-5715. That's 732-5715.
Why should you or anyone you know use Royal Purple in their cars? Why use Royal Purple at all? Numerous independent tests and user testimonials document performance gains by using Royal Purple lubricants, including increased horsepower and torque, reduced wear, improved fuel economy, reduced heat, and for your part to help the environment, reduced emissions.
On Oahu, Royal Purple products are available at Crestec Cleaning Center, Tiki Cycles Unlimited, Tony Nissan Volkswagen. On the Big Island, it's Magoo's Auto Parts.
Okay, we're back rolling again, and if you have any questions or whatever, give us a call at 296-5467, and don't wait for the last minute, okay? Anyway, Mario Yano has a good idea for a lock, and you can lock your keys, money, or whatever, in the trailer hitch of your car if you have one. Give him a call at 497-7739. That's 497-7739.
Hey, George, I finally saw Mario. I mean, I never got to talk to him, but he stopped into my friend's and guy's shop yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a Japanese guy, right? He's not, right?
He's an old guy.
It's funny, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an Italian or something, right?
Yeah. And he's scared like hell to call in on the radio, so we can say anything about him, he'll never call. Okay, the other main question I have for you, since people don't want to ask you, what about education? You know, I'm against what they're doing now. Short money, kill education. You know, you can kill a lot of places other than education. why the kids first? You know, that is so dumb. You know, it sets a bad example for people, for the kids. And for instance, if you want to cut the UH coach, cut the UH president, cut the governor, cut everybody's pay but the kids. This is so stupid. But what I want to know, well, we got two calls coming in. Well, I need to know what you're going to do with education.
Well, do you want me to go now?
Real fast one, yeah.
Okay, well, two things. Federal, yeah. Federal is mostly about whether with federal programs for education can help Hawaii. And we have a lot of funding from our federal government for our education system here. A lot of money, hundreds of millions of dollars. That's one of the major parts of our economy for education. So it's a matter of keeping that money flowing, number one. Also, the federal laws like No Child Left Behind, they've got to be working here in Hawaii. Sometimes Washington, they just don't understand Hawaii. They put these laws into mm-hmm. place, and you apply them down here, they don't work. They don't understand our culture. They don't understand our diversity, all that kind.
Right.
But there's a lot of decisions that have to be made here to reorganize education right here in Hawaii. That's the biggest thing I can tell people. And for that, it really is a matter of who your governor is, who your state legislature is. And those are the areas that, you know, I can help as a congressman, but I can't have as much impact directly as I could if I was in state government. And yeah. That's really where people have to focus with their vote.
Okay, that's what we needed. We needed somebody with guts to go out there and get the money for the kids.
That's right.
Okay, so as soon as Wanda is off the phone, we can get to the next call. Anyway, that was the topic. Every time I see this thing about cutting education, that really burns me.
Well, I'm embarrassed for our state right now. You know, you have these articles going out, not just in Hawaii, but all across the country and even the world, going, oh, Hawaii has the shortest school day now. I mean, what does that say about our ability to focus on what's really important sometimes?
Right.
And I sure hope that these people get it straight, because it's not working for anybody.
That's right. Okay, who's next on the line?
We have Andy from Hawaii Kai.
Hi, Andy.
Aloha, George, and aloha, Congressman Case.
Aloha, Andy.
I wanted to ask you about mass transit. George Nita had on his program both Panos Prevadoros and Ann Kobayashi, who together have put a wonderful rubber tire on concrete mass transit plan. Now, the city poo-poos it, downplays it by calling it managed lanes, which it is not. It is a mass transit plan. Just happens to be on concrete with rubber tires. Very flexible, very inexpensive compared to this mass transit multi-billion dollar plan that is going to bankrupt us. And I wanted to see where your opinion is on it. I know that the Department of Transportation on the federal level has donated money to these mass transit, rubber tire concrete plans all across the country, so it is federally funded and federally available for funds. And what do you think about that as opposed to this steel on steel?
Well, let me give you a couple of quick points, because we are running out of time. First of all, I do think that Honolulu needs some form of mass transit. I've believed that for several decades now. And you just cannot – and, it's not just about now. What you have to focus on as a politician is what are the consequences of your decisions today, or your lack of decisions today, going to mean for the next generations? And I really can't imagine Honolulu in 50 years without some form of mass transit, and not just buses. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, I think that there are, as I understand it, several alternatives to what is being proposed that could work just fine. I'm not sure that they were ever fully explored. And I think when you're about to spend billions of dollars for a city, you've got to have everything on the table. And everybody has to believe that everything was considered. That's my number two point. My number three point is the biggest concern I have with what's going on right now is that I'm not sure that the financial projections are realistic. And that is a matter of federal funding, because the city is depending on the feds to come up with a well over $1 billion contribution, maybe even more, to this. So, you know, the feds have to be able to say that this is okay. And so I think that the call that's being put out there right now by Governor Lingle and others to say, hey, let's just back up a second and let's just ask ourselves, are we really doing this right before we commit to a $5+ billion program, largest public works program in our state's history, And let's see whether, in fact, what you are proposing and what Panos and Ann have talked about versus Mayor Hanneman is the right way to go. And I think we've got to sort this through real carefully.
Well, Congressman Case, I do appreciate you saying that we need to look at the current plan again, but you didn't, with all due respect, you didn't really answer my question about this Panos, Prevedoros, and Kobayashi plan that has been vetted very carefully. It's been in a part of a campaign. It saves lots of money over the current $6 billion plus plan, and it's been done all over the U.S., Florida, Texas, California, and you haven't really answered. What do you think about those managed lanes, or not managed lanes, but the rubber tire concrete mass transit?
Well, Andy, I think what you're asking me to do is to say, yes, I prefer that over the current plan, and I'm not prepared to say that. What I'm prepared to say is that if we back up and ask ourselves, did Ann and Panos' plan get fully vetted? Was it fully considered, which I don't think it was? I think we're in agreement on that.
Right.
And then clear it with the feds, because the feds have to sign off on the mass transit. That's inescapable. They have to take a look at it in the EIS. They have to ask themselves, were all alternatives considered? So the answer that I've got for you is I am not at all opposed to Panos and Ann's plan. But if you're asking me today to say, no, I reject the plan that the city has in place, which the voters did approve, rightly or wrongly, and move to another direction with Panos and Ann, I'm not prepared to go there.
No, I didn't ask you that. I just said what you thought about it. So thanks for answering.
Aloha. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So anyway, the question I have on that is how do you plan to do a mass transit without interrupting traffic? That is the question. Because anytime you build construction next to the freeway, across the freeway, you have to shut it down. And knowing Hawaii's speed in construction, how many can stand a whole year with no freeway?
What do you mean year? This is probably going to be like a
10. This is a 20-year construction project.
Yeah. Wow. No, I just want to make it soft.
Well, you know, it's a good question, and I think the answer is that if you believe you have to do it over the long term, you have to take some hit in the short term, and then you can probably say to yourself, well, in that case, I wish we had done it 30 years ago.
No, we're a little bit late right now, you know, just like everything else.
You know, don't forget that there was a time in Honolulu when we were building the freeway to start with, and that took a long time. And you remember I guess you have to be a certain age to remember what it was like in the 60s mostly, mm-hmm. right? When mm-hmm. they were putting in the freeway through the middle of Honolulu. Mm-hmm. And that messed everything up. But we, you know.
We got through it.
I think we've got to make, we have to make a careful decision on it.
Yeah.
What I'm bothered about the most is I think there's been a rush to judgment for political purposes on mass transit. And that has nothing to do with whether we should or shouldn't do it. It has to do with the credibility of the decisions that are being made. A decision like this has to be, you know, not everybody's going to agree. I mean, Andy doesn't agree versus somebody else. So, but you've got to be able to make the decision and implement.
Yep. Well, that's our sign to get the hell out of here. So I'd like to thank you for coming in. And Tracy.
Thanks, George.
But I think it enlightened a lot of people.
Well, thank you, and people can contact me at edcase.com if they want to get in touch.
That was easy.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad I got it. Otherwise, some other opponent would have cockroached it.
Yeah, knowing them.
Set it up under a false name.
Anyway, good luck in the run, and I give you a lot of credit, thinking people will change, but I don't know.
Please sign up to vote. Whatever your choice is, make sure you get involved and vote.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, general public, for calling in and airing your views. For those that didn't call, well, too bad. He's gone already.
Okay. Mahalo.
Take care and drive carefully. See you all next week. Aloha.
And opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of AM 690 KHNR.
AM 690, KHNR, Honolulu, Hawaii's intelligent talk. Now streaming on the internet at KHNR.com.